What's up, guys? It's Coach D. So, we just did an episode on recruitment. This here is not going to be really an episode. It's more of a theory. What theories are, every day I do mind-challenging questions that make athletes and just people in general think about what they're doing and how they're doing it in a different way. Keyshawn is with me still. So he's going to talk with you guys along with me about the 1% solution, which is a theory that I came up with. I think the first athlete that I did it with was Dallas Harper back in like February or March. And it's a theory and it's a solution that he's really been kind of focused on ever since then. He tells it to me all the time that he's trying to be 1% better every single day, all this kind of stuff. So I want you guys to hear it from Keyshawn, what it means to him. And see if you can apply that to your everyday, whether you're an athlete or whether you're just going to work every day, whatever you're doing, we're going to apply this theory all of 2020 and see if we can get better. All right, so Key, what is the 1%
solution? 1%
solution,
basically, you're just trying to be better than what you were yesterday. You're not competing with nobody.
Not competing with nobody but yourself, right?
Yeah.
So, guys, there's a book that is out, and it's called The 1% Solution for Work and Life, and it's by Tom Cunningham. All right, it's a New York Times bestseller. When I was getting my professional certification in scouting, they made us read this book. They made us actually do a presentation on it to the class, and one thing about me is I'm a competitive person, for one, so you're not going to outdo my speeches. And two, I dissect everything. I look at everything differently. And the 1% solution is one thing that stood out to me and something that I applied to myself and something that I challenged everybody around me to start applying. So you had me going through here, all my homeboys, I'm telling them, y'all got to be 1% better every day. Like, I'm challenging them every single day. So when you first heard me say the 1% solution, have I held you to that standard?
Yes.
So when I feel like you're not being 1% better than you were, what's my typical reaction to that?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure what my reaction is? So when you do what's out of character for you, how do I react?
You just get mad.
Get mad. So 1%, and that's me. That's me on the outside. This has nothing to do with your own perspective of yourself. So this is me on the outside getting mad at who I know that you are and who I know that you're trying to be and who I know that you can be. So if that's my 1% expectation of you, so if you have a 1% resolve, so if you're trying to go 1% harder every single day and you feel like you didn't go 1% harder than you did yesterday, do you feel some type of way about yourself?
Yes.
How do you feel?
I mean, I feel like I could just do better, I guess, yeah.
And do you catch that yourself? Have you started being able to realize when you're kind of falling backwards a little bit?
Yeah.
At first you couldn't. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something, guys. It's been multiple occasions where Keyshawn will look at me like a deer in the headlights. Like, he has no idea why I'm saying the things that I'm saying. Like, he just did nothing wrong. He has no idea what's going on. Am I correct?
Yes.
And your answer to me is, I don't know. Am I still correct?
Yeah.
All right. So, being 1% better than you were the day before, competing with yourself, what's the first, number one title right here that they mentioned in the book?
The difference between exceptional and exceptionally. Exceptional equals
1%. 1%. So the difference between the word exceptional, meaning if I see an athlete and I say this is an exceptional athlete, the difference between him or her and an athlete that I say is playing exceptionally is 1%. Now, that doesn't mean 1% in that very moment. That means 1% probably that they did every single day, which over the grand scheme of things equals a good 90%. So over a course of a year, you've gotten 1% better for 365 days. On average, a high school kid that is 16 years old, on average, I give them 300 days that you've gotten 1% better. Because 65 of those days, you have gotten chunked, more than likely, correct?
Yes.
All right. So let's say, we'll break it down like this. So let's say if Keyshawn is exceptional, all right? I look at Keyshawn, I watch him play, I watch him mingle with people, I see how people react to him, and I say, this is an exceptional kid. And then I take a Dallas, who is an exceptional kid, I put them beside each other, and I say, I'm going to watch them for 30 days. All right? The thing about it, the way my mind works, is you don't even know what I watch for. So you spend your time saying, well, I'm going to do these things in a game, and that's not even what I'm watching for. And you have the other kid who is doing things exceptionally, meaning they're putting more effort into the action behind the word. You get that?
Yes.
So if Dallas is practicing harder and he's focused on being 1% better than himself every single day, but Keyshawn is focused on being better than Dallas. See what I'm saying? You're both exceptional. But just because you get on the court and you say, well, I'm bigger than Dallas, I'm faster than Dallas, I'm going to beat Dallas in this one-on-one game. He's sitting up there in the stands watching this, so that means I'm going to be the one that gets recruited because I'm going to beat this guy. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Dallas says, you know what? I probably won't beat Keyshawn. But this is what he told me to work on when we talked, so this is what I'm going to work on. So I get out there and I watch you guys play. Keyshawn plays the exact same way that I've seen him play 1,000 times before. You drive to the cup, you miss the layup the first time, you get the rebound, put it back up. Something you'll do?
Yes.
All right. The old you, rather.
Yes.
All right. So you do that because Dallas is smarter than you, so you kind of bite him a little bit. But Dallas, he plays defense a little bit differently. He reads you a little bit differently. Instead of him trying to go match for match with what you're doing, he decides to be a little more creative. He's worked on his shot a little bit more. He's worked on his pull-up a little bit more. He has a floater now. So he's put all these things into his bag. I see all those things coming out. You still beat him. Because at the end of the day, once he misses one shot, you take the ball, you go up there, you go back down, you go to the goal, you make the layup. See what I'm saying? But who do you think I'm going to be the most interested in?
Dallas.
Why would you think that? If you won the game and the stats say that Keyshawn is better on paper, why am I more interested in Dallas?
Because he's actually working on what you told him to.
He's working on what I told him to. So when, and you've heard me talk to colleges before, so when I talk to a college, what do I mention more than I mention anything else about an athlete?
What people's weaknesses are.
What their weaknesses are. Because a college is more interested in knowing, what am I getting that I have to work on? I see what I'm getting because your highlights show your shots. Your highlights show your fast breaks. Your highlights show your steals. Your highlights show all these things that are good. But then I give you this scholarship. You come to my program. You don't talk. You can't lead a team. You actually miss every single left-hand layup. You don't make your free throws. Your GPA is good, but it's because you were cheating off of somebody all through high school. So all these things that I'm getting from you now, I had no idea about. But if I know up front, all right, so he has a really strong right hand. His left hand isn't horrible, but he prefers not to go to it. I now know how to strengthen that left hand, and I'm willing to decide, do I want to take on this work as a coach? See what I'm saying? So if I know that you're willing to be 1% better than yourself, if you know the difference between exceptional and exceptionally, then I'm willing to give you this scholarship because now I know that when you step onto my court, into my program, I can tell you to do something, I can tell you to work on something, and you're going to be up here after practice, before practice, working on those things. So I've invested in you because you're going to be willing to invest into my program. All right? What's the second thing?
you can't be 100% better than everyone else, but you can be 1% better at hundreds of things.
Can't be... say it one more time.
Can't be 100% better than everyone else, but you can be 1% better at hundreds of things.
Can't be 100% better than everyone else, but you can be 1% better at 100 different things. Back to that one-on-one game. All right? Now, I pick on... I understand that I keep saying Dallas's name because Dallas and Keyshawn are the reason I started the Champions Academy in the first place. So those are the two kids that I've basically founded this whole concept on. Dallas is a kid that I call Mr. Vision. You know, he's little, but he sees the floor about as well as I think probably I did when I was smaller. So you take these two kids, you're playing this one-on-one game yet again. All right? So we look at Dallas and we say, can Dallas beat Keyshawn physically? What would your answer be?
No.
All right. If Dallas takes you to the cup, how many layups will Dallas successfully make out of 10?
Probably 3.
I'd say 5. So if Keyshawn takes Dallas to the cup, if Dallas isn't smart enough IQ-wise to know when to go for the ball, to know to hit it before it goes to a certain height, all these kind of things. If he don't know all this stuff, he's just trying to battle you physically, just physical, just back and forth. How many times does Keyshawn score on Dallas?
9 times out of 10.
9 times out of 10. All right. So read that one more time.
You can't be 100% better than everyone else, but you can be 1% better at hundreds of things.
All right. So if Dallas now looks at Keyshawn and says, well, you know what? When he gets ready to do a layup, he holds the ball a certain way. He goes up a certain way. He always makes a certain move. If he reads you in that way, and then you try to go to the goal on Dallas, now he knows when to strip you, or he knows when to cut you off, or he knows when to force you a certain way. How many times does Keyshawn make a layup on Dallas?
4 times out of 10.
4 times out of 10. So you went from 90% to 40%. Just because Dallas studies you differently. Because Dallas says, you know what? I can't beat him with size and I can't beat him with just pure strength. But what I can do is outsmart him. So what I can do is know when and what to be better in than him. So the same thing with you. You said your favorite player is Stephon Curry. We're not going to go with Stephon Curry. So we're going to go with Sharif Cooper, because that's who you came here to get on the floor and compete against, correct?
Yes.
All right. So Sharif Cooper will beat you one-on-one. You agree with that or you disagree?
Disagree.
You disagree because you're just being competitive, or you really think like he just can't beat you one-on-one?
Both.
Okay. So in reality, Sharif Cooper steps on the court and say with his team, he picks up four people, you pick up four people. What team do you think wins that game just based off of how Sharif leads and what he knows about the game versus you?
You think who will win?
Yeah.
Probably him.
Okay. So you already knowing that going into the game, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that first part of that, you can't be 100% better than everybody, correct?
Yes.
But you can be 1% better at 100 different things. So if you scout that game correctly, you scout each player correctly, and you put your players in the right positions to be successful, meaning your IQ is higher than his in that moment. So you might not be skillfully as good as him, but you make yourself look as good as him because you put yourself in the right situations. Who now wins that game?
Me.
That's the same thing that happens when you see an Alabama team go down to an Auburn team. See what I'm saying? So you have a team that is known for winning, a team that is known for traditionally getting to the playoffs, go down to a team that barely, it hasn't made the playoffs yet, and still didn't make the playoffs with the win, but because they scouted effectively and they knew where to put their players in that game, they did 10 to 20 different things 1% better than Alabama did in that game, correct? And they ended up winning. that's exactly what that means. You may not be able to beat Sharif Cooper just based off of pure skill. Your left hand's not going to be as strong as his today. Your crossover's not going to be as smooth as his today. But your defense, you can increase that because he doesn't play defense like you. So that's one thing that's 1% better than him. Then you go on to driving to the goal. He doesn't like contact. You love it. So why would you pull up for a three when you can go to the goal and still make the shot even if he makes contact? So 1% better at those two things already. See what I'm saying? Third thing.
You may not win all the time, but you can have a winner's heart if you do something better today than you did yesterday.
What do you think that means?
Basically, if you lose, you didn't necessarily fail if you basically did good at things that you don't usually do good at.
That's exactly what that means. All right. You are the prime example. If when you leave every single game and you come into the stands, your mama's sitting up there, Shannon them sitting up there, all of them are, they pat you on your back, they hug you, and they say, you did so good. You did great. You had this many points, you did this, you had steals. Matter of fact, if I'm late to a game and I get there, your mom always says, he had this many steals, he did this, he did that, he did all these things. Now even she's getting to the point where she's like being really critical because she's probably used to me tearing her little criticism down. But I'm usually the last person you come to. And typically at the game, you don't even come to me. You'll dap me up, you'll sit beside me and put your headphones in so I can't say nothing to you. Correct? When we get in the car, you don't even have your headphones in, you put your phone down, the radio aiming on, because you already know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
All right. So what do I typically do in those moments?
Basically tell me what I can improve on.
Do I say that you played bad?
No.
Do I say that you failed?
No.
Do I say that everything you did out there, I'm just not proud of that, that I can't come to another game. I can't do that.
No.
No. But the things that I tell you that you can work on, if you go back and you work on those things, what happens in the next game?
Do better than what you did last time.
Do better than what you did last time. And don't I typically give you that credit for that?
Yes.
So lately, we have taken a strength of yours, which is your defense. Mm-hmm. I have found a weakness in that strength. Your ability to stay low every single play of the game. Your ability to move your hips while staying low. Your ability to stay in front of your opponent while staying low. I dissected those weaknesses out of your strength. And I developed a workout just for you. How has that workout been?
It hurts.
It hurts. But when you step on the court and you're having to play defense for 20, 30 seconds at a time, instead of holding it for 5-10 minutes at a time, how much easier has that become?
Way easier.
So do you think that your defense is now 1% better than what it was the game before?
Yes.
So even if you lose, right, y'all do everything you can do, you lose, but you did things 1% better than what you did in the game before. See what I'm saying? That's exactly what that means. 1% solution is basically just challenging yourself to be better than you were the day before. Better than you were the day before. So every single day, you're 1% better than the person that you were yesterday. But is that easy though? So, have you had moments where you kind of slide down?
Yeah.
what do I tell you in those moments? What's the one thing that I tell you to do when you know that you feel yourself about to make those mistakes, about to lose that focus? What do I ask of you?
To admit it.
To admit it. So in this 1% solution, guys, the biggest key that you can have to make yourself successful is not just telling yourself to try to be better, but it's allowing yourself to realize when you have made a mistake, and it's not beating yourself up about it, but admitting it and correcting it and focusing on being better than you were. You don't slide all the way back to negative one just because you make a mistake. You're still 1% better than the person you were the day before. It's just now you have to focus on being better than the person you are yesterday. So that mistake you made, you have to have, you know, a pitcher's mindset. You know what I'm saying? When you throw that pitch and it's a home run, you got to come right back in there, get a strikeout. All right. So if y'all have any questions about this theory, 1% solution, make sure you email me. My email is on my page. If you don't have it, it's bookcoachdfagans@gmail.com. You can send them to that email. If you have any recruitment questions, you can send them to coachdrecruitment@gmail.com, and I will answer you as fast as I can. But anything else, you know, just write me on Instagram, write me on Facebook. I will respond to you when I see them. As far as theories go, my next theory that we will work on is called failing forward. It has everything to do with this 1% solution. It's going to make everything make a lot more sense to you guys. So until then, be better people, guys.